Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that when Luke Rader wrote this song, he was inspired by you, and yet not knowing there was a man coming who would use it, who pointed to your word, Lord, that we would believe it. And also true that all things are possible was very much limited in the day it was written, because all the things that we see today that are possible were not there, they were just coming into sight. Now in the hour of the resurrection, we see that the full scope of the possibility of your Godhead coming into entire view with that resurrection and all the fulfillment of your plan that you plan for us, fulfilling us in yourself, Lord, right here in our midst, O God, in His full potential. Help us to believe it, that we might be carried to the higher heights and deeper depths which you promise, Lord, as we sit in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're over here, I do believe, in Easter seal number 20. I think that's where we're at. And last Wednesday we noted that Brother Branham said that it was foretold that the eagle believers of this hour would recognize the cry of the eagle and respond. And we found that to be over in Matthew 12, where the Spirit of Jesus Christ come back upon this earth, which really is God Almighty Himself coming back upon this earth and doing for us exactly what He did for the people in Israel. But you will notice it was carried out in a different manner. It was by the Holy Spirit Himself. It was not by the Holy Spirit and the corporal body, or the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here that He shall show judgment unto the Gentiles in verse 18. And at that time He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear His voice in the streets. The bruised reed He shall not break, and smoking flax He shall not quench, till He send for judgment unto victory. And in His name shall the Gentiles trust. And right there you find that the judge appears on the scene. The righteous judge of all the earth, Elohim, exactly as in the time of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, which Brother Branham said that was Hebrews 13 and 8, which was Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And at the time of being the judge, which is 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, Revelation, the first chapter, all the way down, He shall not strive. Does He strive? The answer is no. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, open the door, I'll bring us up with him. Again, it says here, His voice shall not be heard in the street. And that's exactly true. His voice was not heard in the street, because people walked the streets, and it wasn't that way. You see, no, you hear the cry, not striving, not crying. The bruised reed He won't break. That's exactly true. He doesn't do it. He did it to Israel. He took it all away. Temple worship can never come back as pleasing to God with the blood of bulls and different types of offering. It says, for once and for all, the offering has been completed. And God cannot change His mind and say, well, I think I'm going to just let them go back to temple worship. No, He comes, Brother Branham said, He appears in a symbol to them. And they understand the symbol, which I really believe is a pillar of fire, but I don't know. Because Brother Branham didn't say. Then He makes Himself known. And He's made Himself known. They know that this was the Messiah they rejected. And then you see, there comes a time of the morning of the atonement, as Brother Branham preached. And they come together in Jesus Christ the Lord. All right. And it says, the smoking flax He will not quench. Well, the light went out in Israel because they killed the light. There's no way. But now, they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. And remember, the judgment is unto victory. Now, let's understand that. We go to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. And you know I keep going over these things because I want you to be so familiar with them. You could come, anybody in this church could come behind me and say, I can tell you exactly what it's all about. And he says here, and you that are troubled, verse 7, verse chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And you that are troubled, you that are pressured, you that got this condition, the pressure, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in heaven with His mighty angels. That's now. Now watch. Verse 10, when He comes to be glorified in His saints and admired in all them that believe. But watch up above verse 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. and it be not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The testimony of Paul, to be believed in this day, in verse 10. And they shall be punished. Now, you know that this cannot happen until the judge comes. And he divides. And this is the word dividing the people. It says right here, the gospel and what the testimony of Paul was. It's going to divide them. The word divides. The gifts bring people together. If Jesus had simply come with the gift ministry, he'd have taken the whole show over. But soon as he began preaching the word based on vindication, they said, forget it. We don't care two bits for your vindication. Well, he said, tell me. He said, I've given you signs. Oh, they said, your signs don't mean anything. We want our signs. Hey, they knew a prophet had to be vindicated as having been in touch with God by God vindicating him in order to bring the word. They knew that. And he said, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me, because Moses came back and said, okay, you got your heart's desire. From now on, God will not talk to you. He will talk to a prophet, and the prophet will talk to you. And there's a day coming when he's going to raise up a prophet amongst you. And if you don't listen, you're gone. They never believed that. Remember what I read up there in Toronto on Friday night?
I don't know, like the fella that thought he might be asked to play the piano. He bought his piano with him. I don't know if I got it here or not. The 14th chapter.
Many people miss God's point about miracles. He does not ask us to believe in miracles. He hits us between the eyes with them. Then let a person deny a miracle was done. He's a complete fool. I mean, he's a complete fool. You don't even bother with him. Why waste your time? Come on. Waste your time with fools. He demands that we believe in him and in everything he has made known. To convince us that he is making something known, he does what only the creator of nature can do. He makes visible creation act in a manner that differs from its naturally fixed behavior. He confronts us with eye-opening facts. He says, in effect, look here and pay attention. I have something to tell you. Listen to me. Tell me, did Jesus put it any better? The Catholic Church will answer by this, what this man wrote. Jesus said, your own words condemn you. You believe Moses? Then why don't you believe him? Pentecost has been prophesying since 1906, and mostly it's lousy fabrications. At the best, it's anointed speech. They're the chaff. How are they going to make the rapture? Come on. Well, Brother Dale, Brother Branham, you're so hard. You're so hard. You want a mealy-mouthed, stupid God who changes because you changed. I would sooner have him hit me between the eyes and say, yes, you are saved, or yes, you are lost, than be in a position of such indecision. And God deliver us to come to the day when we know that we know that we know, because this is that hour. Amen. It's not another hour. It's this hour. All right. You combine what I have read. God proving that Jesus is risen from the dead. And the God that was in that human structure, born of Mary, is back here doing the same works that he did back there for the Gentiles in order to take them on to completion, because the Gentile church goes from A to Z without a stop, where the Jews went from A to Y with the 2,000 years between the Ypsilon and the Z for the Y. The 2,000 years break. Between the first half of Daniel's 70th week and the 7th, as we showed you in Toronto. All right. Brother Branham made categorically the statements that the eaglets would respond to the eagle, and we found that over here
that the eagle would come back in John chapter 10, 25 to 28. Jesus answered, I told you, and ye believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now in John 14, he says, I am not doing the works, it's the Father within me, yet he was doing it. Certainly. See? Aren't your lungs breathing? Why are they breathing? Because there's life in you. The same thing right here. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. All right, with that you read John 10:16. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now it tells you at the time that the voice is heard, there is one shepherd, and there is one fold, which is definitively the bride. Hands up in the New Jerusalem. So when Brother Branham said, the voice of the eagle will be heard, that's exactly right because Jesus said it. And it said over also in Hebrews 12, and it said over also in Revelation. So the people would try to tell you this isn't right, they don't know their Bibles. They don't know, first of all, the God of the Bible. That's the whole trouble. They've never understood his integrity. Now, according to him, that's Brother Branham, there was not even a shadow of doubt, but that we are potentially in the resurrection because our day is exactly as it was when Jesus was in the days of his flesh when he foretold of his resurrection. Well, that's what it was all about. What he did. He was leading them to the point where he could say, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Well, they said, you give us a sign. He said, the sign is this, as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And Brother Branham correctly said it, according to archaeologists and historians, within that period of time. Now notice, the sign was what? A prophet going to the Gentiles. The Ninevites were not Israelites. So what about it? It's got to run parallel. It's got to be based upon fact. And Jesus said the sign was a prophet of God to the Gentiles. And people are trying to tell you Elijah doesn't come to the Gentiles. They don't know the word. Then they're not going to learn the word. There's nothing in them to get the word. So don't bother. You know, I make stuff that's called, I call it red stuff. And I take some spare ribs and I squeeze the sauerkraut juice on top of them, put a little pepper in it, and I boil them. That's to take away the piggy taste because you can't get decent ribs. And I sprinkle the sauerkraut on top of it, and I pour the rice on top that's all washed, and I put tomatoes on top of that, and I steam it. And I love it, and there are people who hate it. I'm going to invite you to dinner. You ain't going to come and eat my red stuff. You don't like it. Why should I try to feed you? So I'm trying to tell you. They don't believe this Bible. They don't like it. What fellowship has you have anybody that believes all of the Word with him who believes part of the Word? Yeah. What fellowship does anybody have here that doesn't want to sit down and talk the Word with somebody that, you know, wants to talk and one fellow doesn't want to talk? Where's your fellowship? You don't have any. Not there. See? So, all right. You look at what we're seeing here. Brother Branham tells us we are potentially in the resurrection based on what Jesus himself said, and it has to be exactly parallel. A prophet going to the Gentiles, what he based it upon. And those people, what did they do? They repented. Changed their minds. See? Because God met them on the basis of their own religion, which was a man crawling out of the belly of a whale, which they worshipped a fish god. All right. The people today talk about worshiping God with spirit, and God comes right on the scene to the Gentiles, and they turn him down flat.
That's the whole church does, but the bride doesn't. What does her bride do? She goes into repentance in sackcloth and ashes. What is a rich Pentecostal? We're rich in Christ and goods and don't need a thing. We're beautiful. Oh, look how we are on the outside. We're marvelous, wonderful, wonderful. He said, you are naked. The bride knows she's naked, so she goes to her sackcloth and ashes. In her mind of repentance, she humbles herself before God. And she said, I don't know a thing here. I'm just listening to the prophet. Well, bless God, you know, Brother Dale, I had a vision, and I prayed for sick. Oh, shut up. Get out of my... You know, my stomach is getting queasier all the time. I think I lack hydrochloric acid. It's not that I am not vitriolic enough, it's just I don't have the right kind of acid. And I can understand if God's stomach bothers him that he wants to vomit. Because it certainly bothers me when people come up against, look, what have they got to produce? What have they got? Wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and bowing. They're like a guy I knew years ago. And during the Depression, he built young women that he could go with who was earning money, and he pretended he had a lot of money. He had a ranch down southern Alberta. He had race horses and everything else. And what he did, he worked for this car company so he could drive these nice big cars, and he'd go with these girls, and they'd fall for him like an idiot. But he was true to his wife, though. I don't know any woman he ever seduced into sex. But he took their money. Well, I can see the church doing the same thing today and people falling for the same nonsense. Completely fooled by an empty boast. Rich in Christian goods, don't lack a thing. Well, I had a vision one time or this or that. Not knowing and not believing that Judas, which was the devil. Jesus said, one of you is Diabolus, which means one of you is the devil. And it says the devil entered him, and he did signs and wonders and miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. Glorified God every step of the way till it came time to betray him. Who do you think led in the worship of God? Jesus and Satan. When Jesus took the form of Michael. He said, well, you know, the devil wouldn't. Who said the devil wouldn't do that when the Bible says different? Who are you to say what the devil do or not do when this man stood there with the anointing of God on him, the pillar of fire above him, talking face to face? Moses, Paul, William Branham. Ooh, Brother Dale, that's going too far. Hey, kid, you ain't gone far enough. You haven't gone far enough. You're an abortion. You're an abortion. Grow up. See, anybody can talk. You think I would talk the way I talk except for that? You have got to be kidding. There's no way I'd open my mouth and say these things except for that. That's my authority. They try to tell you something different, just laugh at them, walk off, see? Bible said God's going to laugh in the heavens in derision. You know, people don't like that kind of talk. Oh, no, you got your own God all figured out, the God of your imagination. When Brother Branham preached the mighty God exposed before us, revealed, he hit her right in the head. He told them. They wouldn't believe him. Here's a man vindicated. But the devil gave him enough brains in Chicago that not one came forward to protest him. Well, he said, Lee, and he right on the table, he says, you're smarter than I thought you were. And he told me why he said it. He said, Lee had one man come forward. They'd have carried him up feet first. The pillar of fire stood right there to slay him. Oh, I can't believe that. Well, you don't have to. So, Brother Babe, you seem pretty smug. I am. Well, wouldn't you want everybody to believe it? No, if everybody believed it, I'd be wrong. That's right. Same old story. Man like me, he said, you know what the old Indian chief said? He said, I don't want every man liking my squaw. I don't want everybody liking my husband, Jesus Christ. Why should I? Oh, you say, well, just a minute. Now, wouldn't real love do that? Hey, if God said something, where is my love if I say opposite?
Come on, you got to come someplace in your life where you come to the definitive. Well, you come here or not, that doesn't mean anything. It's where you come to the definitive. And Brother Branham was the definitive. All right. He says here, I'll read it again. According to Brother Branham, there was not even a shadow of doubt, but that we are potentially in the resurrection, because our day is exactly as was Jesus' flesh days when he foretold his resurrection. He told them he would die and rise again in 3 days because he knew exactly who he was based on the prophetic word that was manifestly fulfilled in him. Now, that's a very strange statement I had made because Brother Branham made it. On the basis of the fact that Brother Branham said Jesus did not bypass his theophany form, so therefore he remembered all things, which he certainly did when it came to the prayer, also, not just the prayer in John 17, but also in John 12, when the voice answered from heaven, I have glorified thee, I'll glorify thee again. And when Jesus prayed in 17, it was not a voice answering, it was his prayer when he said, I want the glory that I had. Showing the pre-existence of what it was leading in the worship of Almighty God, which placed him there as that only begotten Son for that particular position, which is true now because you cannot come to the Father without the Son. So many people just seem to bypass Jesus entirely these days based on this message on the grounds that, hey, what's it doing? Because Brother Branham used the term body as though nothing. Well, let me tell you, that body bled and died. And don't you ever bypass the blood. I don't care if the blood went back to the elements or where it is. That blood sufficed. Because the Holy Ghost came back and demonstrated this. So let nobody just get out of line. I'll hold you in line there because we respect but that. So you got to respect him. All right. Now Jesus knew exactly who he was based on the prophetic word that was manifestly fulfilled in him. Now, you'll notice in here it was fulfilled in him, and he therefore knew positively when he was thrown on his own, which he was thrown on his own. Because he said on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See? Now, people say, which is true in the sense of the word. He could have just turned, made one little look, waved one little finger. Brother Branham agreed on that point. As far as I recall, we'll see it here. They could have got 12 legions of angels right then. But he didn't do it. You know why? Because it was that word, the word being consistent, then he was consistent with the word. Now, how in the world, if the word isn't consistent, how can we be consistent? It's not a matter of our constancy, it's a matter of his constancy. And it's so hard to see it. Well, you see, Lord, I've done this and I've done that. Oh, shut up. You did just what David did, but you didn't have the 499 wives and somebody else a wife you could grab. You know, it's so sickening for people to just vaunt themselves. I'm 77 coming up. And I've known ever since I got saved, I've been the low man on the totem pole. And I admit it. I'd have to take a step down, look a snake in the eye. And I look out here and I see what these guys are doing. Don't even come near me. Because they're boasting how great they are, this and that. See, I'm the wrong guy to come around and approach. Now, let me tell you something. It's his constancy, not ours. It's his faithfulness, not ours. It's his faith. And if the prophet said that Jesus knew positively that he was that one, then I want you to know something here. This is the mightiest assurance that God ever gave anybody and can give anybody, because it was the assurance that he gave his Son, who already knew way back there who and what he was. All right. We got the word fulfilled right today in the prophet Elijah, which comes to you and me. And that makes us 100% with God, as we believe his word that was manifested. And so you're trying to tell me William Branham didn't know who he was? You got to be sicker than I don't know what. And you're going to tell me you weren't way back there in the beginning when the sons of God came together, rejoiced and clapped their hands, the devil stood in the midst? Are you going to tell me that you weren't back there? If you didn't have representation back there, you don't have it now. See, people get all mixed up. They just won't believe what the prophet said. They won't bring it down to the level. And of course, I get highly criticized because I'm supposed to be trying to give you a revelation. Nobody can give a revelation. Yet the Bible said that you're supposed to teach. Obey them that have the rule over you. Teach you the word of God. What has the rule over the people? The word does. So the preacher just stands back. Here I got goofballs all around here that break up marriages. One guy, he's a spiritual husband of the church, so he breaks up marriages. Now, if he and she commit adultery, he's going to answer. If a man did that to my wife, I would sue him for $5 million and expose his whole church there of the devil. Say, brother, that's tough talk. Why is it tough talk? Haven't you got the guts to face the light? You say you're in the light, then face it. Let's go to a court even. Well, that's a brother. What makes you think he's a brother? Where do you get that kind of stuff, breaking up homes and things? Taking authority over women. Don't come around Lee Vale. I'll use language you never heard in your life. Oh, yeah, you heard it, but you're too nice. I know an illegitimate when I see one. What are you doing? I can point you to homes that I've kept together by the word of Almighty God. Don't anybody bug me. The same life of God that gave the scripture and then fulfilled it promised to raise him from the dead. Now watch. The same life of God that gave the scripture and then fulfilled it. And we're talking about now. Promised to raise the dead. And when he saw God's perfect record of scriptural fulfillment, and in this man, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, never failing, Jesus knew this scripture of his resurrection was a foregone conclusion. Now, how many of us can rest in the morning that our resurrection is a foregone conclusion because the potential of it's here? Yet we can, every one of us have got the brains. If we want little bunnies for our kids, we've gone and buy a female and a buck, a doe and a buck. We say, we've got bunnies coming. Boy, do you have bunnies coming. But you can't believe the word of God. What's greater, bunnies coming or thus saith the Lord? That's where the bunnies came from. I'm going to prove I'm telling you the truth. When they wanted a sign outside of the sign Jesus gave me, he said, what's the matter with you birds? He said, you look out there at evening time, the sky is red. You say, good day tomorrow. Hey, great, great, we'll go fishing. The Sea of Galilee had a lot of tempests on it. But like certain lakes in America, they just suddenly storms come up. We had a lake like that up in Alberta, Canada, where I came from, Pigeon Lake. Drowned a friend of mine, went to school with her. Suddenly a squall, boat gone. Now he said, tomorrow morning if the sky is red, you say, hey, don't go fishing. Oh, you hypocrites! So, just keep stuttering. Hypocrite. You're going to look out there and see nature, and you see that and deny it? Yeah. You're smart. You go to school. You're educated. You're going to get a bigger education. Oh, fat, you ain't educated. You've been clobbered. Educo means to lead out. And what's in you, if it's let out, you're truly educated. And if you've got the gene of God in you, this word will lead it out into manifestation. Education today means drive in. Where do you find the word of God driving anywhere? The sheep hear my voice and they follow. You know, around singing jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the day. No. They sing those lovely psalms that we sing here. And my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. We don't have jingle bells and Easter rabbits. The world has those. You see where they're at. We have the Word of God that's living today. And yet he said, you look at nature. And this is conclusive by what you see, that I am above that nature. Why don't you take it? And yet the Pentecostals can't take, thus saith the Lord. They do not even understand the signs that precede the Word as different from the signs that follow the Word. Now let that sink in, because that is the truth. And I'm going to tell you, you heard me preach, and some of you know I've been preaching for since Brother Branham died and before then, who he is. I couldn't have written the books and the things that I've done. And yet it never came to me, the simplicity, until just a few weeks ago. But you know something? That does everything to you. Clinches that nail so strong. They're putting nails in his cross. We're putting the strength of iron in our souls. There's a big difference. All right, let me read it again to you. The same life of God that gave the Scripture and then fulfilled it, promised to raise Jesus from the dead, and when he saw God's perfect record of scriptural fulfillment, he knew this Scripture of his resurrection was a foregone conclusion. He said, kill me and I'll rise again. Now just a minute, you say, now just a minute. In the light of the fact that this man was who he was, going right back to prehistory, the very image of God, the effulgence, the outraying of God himself. Brother Branham said that light formed. There's only one thing it could form from, was from God himself. God giving birth. And that one bringing all these things into being by Christ Jesus, the ages, the world, everything created. It was God doing it in him through that manifestation. You say, now just a minute. You mean to tell me, knowing all of that, that he had to have all of this fulfilled concerning him, and then there was a foregone conclusion. That's the way God wanted it, and that's the way it was. Lo, a body hast thou prepared me. In the volume book it is written of me. And he went exactly through every single step, and as he went through every single step, he said, this is it. And you got the same thing right today. How are you going to deny it? The same Holy Spirit that gave the prophecy, the same Holy Spirit that brought it to pass, that manifested it and brought it before us, is now here to bring about a resurrection. How are we going to miss it? If you're part of the bride, you ain't going to miss it. No way. You see what you're doing? You're following the perfect example of Jesus. Not this seven-day Adventist bunch of hogwash. They said Jesus fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law of death. They can't even read Colossians correctly. How would you like it today if all you had to do was wash a few pots and pans and close shop on Saturday, and that did it? You're crazy. It's not the blood of Jesus plus, it's the blood of Jesus, period. If you want a battle, you give way to the Word of God and let God work righteousness in your heart, which means that you are following the Word instinctually through the Spirit, because you're completely obedient to that life. You've given over to it. But you get all this muckraking out in this junk legalism. There's no way, unless God does a miracle in our lives, that we can come to the place we're longing to come to. No way. We got a hybridized Word. And you know something? When you got a hybrid, every bug under God's heaven attacks it. You got a genuine non-hybrid, you won't be allergic. The bugs won't attack it. Science has proven bugs only attack the weak. If you don't believe that, what about you sitting here with all the problems you got in your body and I got in mine? Everything in nature proves the Bible. Everything in nature proved Brother Branham. Now, Brother Branham now turns to us, even as Jesus did to the disciples, and asks us, do you believe the Word? Now that you have seen the power of His potential exhibited, are you a believer? For the Word fulfilled to us. Now watch it. For the Word fulfilled to us is that we believe it, because that is why it is given. The whole point The whole point of Jesus' ministry was to believe, get the people to believe. And when the angel commissioned Brother Branham, he said, you get the people to believe and nothing will stand before you. That's why he sang over and over, only believe, all things are possible. Believe what? The word that was coming after the manifestation. And what is the word of this hour? Resurrection. We are in the resurrection. And Brother Branham went to his death believing it. He did. I know the facts. Now, the prerequisite of the resurrection is to believe the word of the hour of the resurrection. That is Brother Branham's message. He is here, and the point is, why is he here? The only reason that he can be here is to make a separation, because it's the days of Noah and the days of Sodom. And the only way it can be done by the days of the Son of Man coming back, proving exactly the one who is risen from the dead is here. And why is he here? To raise the dead and to change it to immortality and take us away. So therefore, the declaration of his presence is the message that Brother Branham brought us. And people don't even know that. And when they do know it, they say, well, that's a doctrine. That's where Brother Byrne came from. Pastor Balnier, he said, positively said, why? He said, sure, he believes the presence. He told Brian that. Stands right before Vern and denies it. Oh, yeah, that's Pentecost. So Vern quotes the prophet. Didn't do any good. I'm not trying to pan the guy. It's just a fact. They don't believe it. Now, why did the prophet say, my ministry is to declare that he is here? And he said, there's no such thing as a true healing revival, that's manifestation to prove something's coming, he said, unless there's a change in the message, because God does not attempt to vindicate the old, tired message that's already here. You can't get them to believe. There's nothing in there to believe in. You say, well, Brother Bale, you're too hard. Well, you have your opinion, I'll have mine. You want to go someplace wishy-washy? Just go ahead. Hey, I got it tough enough now to believe straight without a bunch of wishy-washies. Negative people around here. There's one thing, you're not negative. At least there's a few of you sure can be. Because I always overdo myself preaching and bringing up things I don't know is there myself. That's only because God helped. Let's go to the book of Romans in just a second. Now, to believe does away with all questions. If you are a believer, you will not have questions. Notice in Romans the 10th chapter, beginning of verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That's bring Christ down. Or descend to the deep? That's to bring Christ from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, just a minute. That's the stupidest thing under God's high heaven, to expect somebody to say something because he says it. That's like you writing a book. And it's nothing but an unadulterated bunch of hogwash and lies. And you expect people to believe it. How could Paul ever make a statement like that? Well, let's go back to the 15th chapter of the book of Romans and see what he says right here. Now, verse 15, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, and the same sort is putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I dare not speak of the thing, any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. Not wrought by me. I said, I can't say anything about what he hasn't done. So I'm going to tell you what he has done. Here's my vindication through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem around about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. I came vindicated. All right, that's what he says over here. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, what the Holy Spirit impresses upon you, because you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you will have in your heart. Here is your well, your source, your power, and it'll come out of your mouth. You cannot help but say what is of divine revelation to you. based in this hour upon vindication. I want to tell you something. A smart burglar will cover his tracks. If Jesus came as a thief in this night, he's a burglar. And boy, did he cover his tracks. He sure did. He proved every single inch and every step. Who can find the fence? Anybody can. Because as in the days of Noah, 8 were saved. And don't make it 800, and don't make it 8,000, don't make it 8 million. Don't be like the 81-year-old preacher down in Texas who wants, he said, I'd just like to be here. Just, you know, he'd like to be here when these so-called millions disappear. I think I might enjoy that myself. He ain't going to disappear. He wants to see the faces of people in the world when all these millions are gone. Where did they go? They ain't going nowhere. How do you get the authority to change 8 souls to 8 million? Woo-wee, would I love to be a banker and do that. I'd take you on vacations like you never dreamed of. I'd finance any of you who wanted to go up to the stratosphere, maybe to Mars or somewhere. Oh, if talking does it. And I saying it. I ask you, what would you like me to give you this morning if talking does it? See how stupid it is? Come on. Something's wrong. It's not us. All right, today we have vindicated faith. We have literally passed from faith to knowledge. Faith merely believes to bring it into existence. Based on the truth of the Word of God, the life that's in it, to manifest it. But when it comes into full manifestation, it's no longer faith. Because there is a step between faith and full manifestation, which is hope. And the faith that we have, which is proven faith, has now put us in the position of hope, which is earnest expectation. What is our earnest expectation if I'm preaching right from Brother Branham, and I am a seed, and you are a seed? It's resurrection and rapture. So what are you expecting? Well, Brother Dale, I tell you, I don't know what to expect out there in the world. There could be an earthquake, there could be a drought, there could be this or that. But I'll tell you one thing I expect. I expect the resurrection. I will be seeing Brother Branham. I will be shaking his hands. I will be with my group. And you can be earnest about it. Oh, they say, now just a minute. You know, we've been looking at this for years, and you know, you could make a mistake. Did that make a mistake? Come on, come on, come on. You impugn the integrity of God or whoever's behind that. Yeah. So, Brother Bell, what if it isn't God? What if it is God? You argue back and forth. I don't have to argue. The integrity of whatever is there is what I'm interested in. And if God is now bluffed out by the devil, show me the scripture. Oh, I know. They can't do it. You know what? They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe in prophets and prophecy. Why should they? Nothing in to believe anyway. Let's go back to page 37 and try to talk a little bit before we get you out of here. All right, in paragraph 202. Now, every word that God said, has your spirit said amen to it? And has been fulfilled in your life as a believer. Now, what is he talking about fulfillment? Right away, everybody wants to go, oh, I speak in tongues, I do signs, I do wonders, I live this kind of life, I live that kind of life, I got this kind of fruit, I got that kind of fruit, I've done this and I've done that. Now, hold it, hold it, hold it. You're missing the whole point. Now, every word that God said, and this is for this hour, and remember, part of the word is fulfilled, so Brother Branham does not bring us the whole Bible as though he had to bring it. the word of the hour. Has your spirit said amen to it? And has it been fulfilled in your life as a believer? It does not say, categorically, it does not say, have you fulfilled it? How does it? Did he say, has your spirit say amen? And have you fulfilled every life, fulfilled it in your life as a believer? Have you fulfilled it? It doesn't say that. So don't make us say that. It has it been fulfilled. Now the signs that are given by a prophet preceding the word is that you believe the word. And if you don't believe the word, then the word has not been fulfilled in you as a believer. Never mind what step goes next. Forget it. You're gone. You're shot. You can say what you want, but I've proved that from John 3, 6 to 18 many, many times. It's not that Jesus did not have a perfect sacrifice. No, no, no. It's not that guilt could not be taken away. No, no, no. It's not that condemnation could not disappear. No, it does. Why is there condemnation in spite of the fact there is a sacrifice? They don't believe the truth. So therefore, grace and truth are legitimate only when they are together. Oh, say what you want. Don't talk about grace without truth and truth without grace. You're not going to confuse me, honey. You can confuse yourself and the neighbors. We don't confuse Lee Dale. I didn't get to be 77 years of age or nothing, be around a prophet and study this word and know this word as I know it. I'm not trying to justify myself. I'm telling you the truth, that's all. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Didn't say truth came by him and grace came by him. Severance of grace and truth came. Read your Bibles. And categorize it. He is the truth. He's the way, he's the life. He's the amen, he's all of it. Now the whole thing is up there, just positionally yours if you want it. But they don't want the truth. They want the grace, but not the truth. Always, it's the same murky, mucky story. All right. Over here in John 6. Verse 28. Then they said to him, what work shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Now there's a double in here. Well, I believe on him, hallelujah. I know Jesus died. You just shut your mouth and listen. And open your ears for a change. Jesus did not say that. He said, you believe me because of the works. Now, what does he mean there? He said, the word that I speak comes from the Father. So what's the matter? Just believing. See? Anybody can believe something like that in the sense that, well, sure, there's miracles happening. But can you understand what Brother Branham was saying? If you're convinced, you will believe. And if you believe, you will testify to what is in your heart by revelation. And it can only get down there by way of the spirit and the mind. It gets down in there. Now he said, listen here. They said, what sign do you show us? That we may see and believe. What kind of work do you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, truly I say unto you, Moses gave you that not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life for the world, unto the world. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you have also seen me and believe not. All that the Father give me is coming, him that coming on no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will, the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which it give me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, you can confuse that with simply identifying according to what you see. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do as concerning the two spirits. You know when God alone can heal, God alone creates, and so on. But the next question is, why is he doing it? In order to bring the word. So if you say, well, I believe on Jesus Christ, you have got to know what you are believing concerning that which has been said. Now, do you see, well, you could spread it over six church ages, seven ages, sure you can. But there's a message for every age, and here's where people falter again. They do not believe it. Now, I said, do you hold back on something and say, well, my church teaches different? Then be careful, hawk. Notice, eagles believe. No question to them, they believe it. The prerequisite as part of the resurrection is to believe the revealed word of the hour. See? Now, no question to them. They believe it. Why? Because like Paul, they have given up their background. They say, if Brother Branham said it being vindicated, that's it. See, what does it mean? I don't know, but that's it anyway. In other words, you don't question the authenticity. You might not understand the contents, but you cannot question the authenticity. Now, notice the eagle here is not performing antics. The eagle is screaming. So therefore, the eagle is identified as an eagle. Exactly by what he does. He is true to his nature. So God has identified himself as to his nature according to what the Spirit is doing. Now the eagle scream is the word. What is the eagle saying? Notice, he knew it would happen because the word said it was, and every word written of him had to be fulfilled. That's Jesus. He knew that it was written by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, prophet, that had prophesied that he would do so. And prophecy never fails. It cannot. The word of God cannot fail, and it's written by the Spirit. Now, Brother Branham is categorically telling us here that we in our hour of our resurrection fit into this mold. There is no way that we can have any unbelief concerning this. Now, the trouble is, we still go to our background, and we let too many things enter our thinking, so we are not positively using enough time on the word. Because transfiguration, which we will talk about, comes by the renewing of the mind. And the renewing of the mind means get every single thing out of there that is wrong. As S.D. Gordon or A.J., whichever Gordon it was, said, I've got a bottle of water here and it was full of rocks. He said, no, you don't. You got a bottle of rocks and water. And as you pick out the rocks, you keep pouring in water. Until one day there's nothing but water, then you have a glass full of water, and that's exactly what Brother Branham said about a life that's full of the Holy Ghost and completely controlled by the Word in which the Holy Ghost lies. So you keep pouring in the Word. As a psychologist said, you don't break old habits, you create new habits. So you push out the old word by bringing in the new word. And as it augments and grows and expands itself, pretty soon you're nothing but word. It's a process. And the more we apply ourselves, and Brother Branham was worried there, the more we apply ourselves, the better off we are. So now he knew it would happen. Jesus knew it happened. He knew that he was going to get raised from the dead. Why? Because every word of God by the prophets was the word of God, never failed. No way the word of God can fail. How could he believe it could fail when he stood right there and the Father operating through him said, let there be light? So today there can be no excuse allowed us as to any shadow of doubt concerning thus saith the Lord. Now, will William Branham come back? No way he's going to stay away. And the next thing is, are we going to see him? No way, we can't. See? 203. Now also the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in your being, your body, it will also quicken your mortal body. Now watch, then shoot it, burn it. Do anything you want to. Live, die, sink, or swim. Make fun of it. Tear it down. Turn it down. Do what you want. God will raise it up because he said he would. Based on what? Based on the paragraph above it. He knew it would happen because the word said it was, and every word written of him had to be fulfilled. He knew it was written by the power of God, by the holy prophet that had prophesied that he would do so. And prophecy cannot fail. It cannot. The word of God cannot fail. It's written by the Spirit. So therefore, there is no way that a resurrection is not going to take place and the mortal bodies quicken. Now, this is the ultimate, the way we are to come, and it bypasses our own thinking. It bypasses our understanding. It bypasses every experience. It says this experience is above every experience because this is God, and God is not an experience. Did you experience God? Well, I guess you could say that. I don't. It's a vernacular. But God himself is not an experience. God is God. And the prophets cannot fail. See, the Jews know that, but they didn't believe that Jesus was the fulfillment. They couldn't take his word. They were one day, and it's too late. Every saint of God has that promise in him, knows that's the truth. So fear not, brother. We are in the Easter. We are in the Easter. If you can take this message, Brother Branham said you are seed. Now watch, look at transfiguration. He doesn't say the transfiguration or a transfiguration. He doesn't say that. He said, look at transfiguration, just before we close, transfiguration. We are all represented there in transfiguration. Now, he could say in the transfiguration, because he's going to refer pretty soon to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. But he says, we are represented there in transfiguration. Now, transfiguration is a part of the resurrection. Because we are going to be transfigured, which means metamorphosis is going to be complete without dying. Now remember, metamorphosis usually cannot be completed without dying. You've got to go to your theophonic friend as your spirit body, and you come back and so on. But this is where that doesn't take place. The funny thing is, Brother Branham said, which is so peculiar, that when we get our change here, we will meet our spirit body in the air. Why? That's his business, God's business, not mine. What do I care, as long as I get it? See, you're looking at metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is a life process. The metamorphosis of the bride is completing to the end where all that must die are dead, and they'll come back, and those that didn't die in a mystery will be changed. But it's all one metamorphosis. That's why Brother Branham said there was a measure of the Spirit allotted to every age according to the measure of the Word, or vice versa. There is a measure of the Word allotted according to the measure of the Spirit. And at the end time, the entire Spirit is here. There is no more to be poured out. There are no more rebirths. The last one is in. And therefore, he himself, the cornerstone, appears as the capstone. Spiritual. Now the church is over. There's no more message at all. This is it. You can't tell people that. They ain't going to believe that. Okay, oh, they know better. You say, where's your thus saith the Lord? Come on, give me a sign. I say that all the time. Give me a sign. My God, my fingernails are so brittle. Look at they're breaking off like that. They get worse all the time. Will somebody please give me better fingernails? Oh, sure, you can do that if you've got the power you say you got. Come on. One little fingernail? I saw the dead raised on two occasions. Miracle after miracle on other occasions. Psalm recalled, tell people their dreams. Daniel did what? Daniel. Well, I'm not trying to mock Daniel. Praise God for Daniel, the great man. Wonderful, one time. William Branham, perhaps dozens of times. Not making comparison, invidious comparison, being wrong. I'm just trying to show these people up to think they're so smart. They haven't got a clue. Now, come on, how can Pentecost be chaff and not make the rapture if I'm not telling you the truth? Hey, you got to get down. Did you have eggs for breakfast? Did you not eat? Well, Brother Dale, I don't know. I thought, oh, my God, did I have cornmeal this morning? What did I have? I had two waffles. We were running out of bread. I had one egg, hard fried, the way I wanted. I had 2.5 cups of coffee at least. I poured in half and half because too rich cream bothered my stomach. And I took my pills for nourishment. Hey, I know what I ate. What did I eat yesterday? That's a different story. Who cares? What about tomorrow? Never mind. Look on this. You ain't going to get fat on what you don't eat. You're going to get fat on what you do eat and get your nourishment.
All the time people, in religion,
listen, religion isn't that way. Religion, in the beginning, was a normal man and a woman pruning the trees under the influence of the Holy Ghost, living before God. What do you think it's going to be now?
Oh, Brother Ben.
Hey, haven't you heard the sermons all these years, the ultimate of God? Taken from the book of Revelation. How that Alpha and Omega are the same, so therefore the Alpha plan of God is the Omega, the new Jerusalem. The Lamb on the throne, the bride around there, the 144,000 taking care of those out on the outside bringing their glory in. Never, never in dark. Before they call, he answers. Come on. That's not. Hey. Come on. I'm teasing you, sort of, but I'm dead serious. Or I'm a dead duck up here, one of the two. This is no longer something mystical. This is no longer beyond us. We have been notified. The Word has been verified, and in it, we are verified to it. Otherwise, what are you doing here this morning? Because I ain't that good a preacher. Years ago, I was. I could preach the hair off you, the hide on you, anything else. I was fluent. I still am fluent, more fluid because I have to pass out the towels. But the point is, I had a grasp of English. I'm not kidding you. I never used slang or anything else, and I can prove it. I could read faster backward than anybody could read forward in the class. My IQ was right there, don't worry. I could be eloquent. What's eloquence got to do with it? That's the devil's bunch, not this guy up here. See? Look now at transfiguration. Please, he said, look now, I'm directing your attention. Just before we close, transfiguration. We're all represented there in transfiguration. That's bright. Look what we are seeing today. Notice just what we're seeing today. The quickening power of God, we were all there. Why? Because it's the same power, the same God, accomplishing the same thing. We're at the end of what started back there. In other words, this hour is equal to or the same as then in our resurrection epiphania. Now listen, the epiphania is the brightness and the shining, which is normally the zenith when it comes out. Jesus had an epiphania even before he died, showing that glorified, resurrected body pointing to this hour. Now, the scripture absolutely talks about the epiphania in this hour. The great shining of Christ to the Gentiles. The same sun that rose in the east is setting in the west, and the days of the Son of Man prove he's the same yesterday and forever. Which is Genesis 18, the dividing of the people from the people in the burning. Resurrection hour. And Brother Branham said, this is it. Oh, I wish I could have been back there. Well, thank God I wasn't. I wouldn't have believed back there. What would I be doing back there? Took me a long time to agree with Brother Branham. This is the hour that he said, if I could choose any hour, I'd choose this. And I said, oh boy, just get me out of here. Get me back a little further back. I like it better back there. Today I'm happy. I'm glad he chose me for this hour. I'm glad he chose you for this hour. What would I do without you? Bunch of no goods, you're just like me.
Amen.
We like company. You know what it is. You either rise or sink to your own level. You know something? I tell you the truth. You know this is the truth? That every man, normal men, marry below their status, and every woman marries above her status. You know why that's true? Because Jesus is the highest there is, and we're married to him. And he married below his status. Come on, to get your psychology books out. I'm not telling you a lie. I read my books, as well as Ann and Anders. Had to throw that in. I didn't get it from her, don't worry. It's psychological truth. In most cases, most women naturally will marry upward and men will marry downward. Why? Right. It's in the Word. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, say men are superior. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's such a law of psychology, that's generally him. And it runs through in the scripture. Well, hey, what would be the good if we didn't marry upward? Come on. If I can't get something better than I got now, and I'm not talking about my marriage, I'm talking about me. See? Whew, forget it. You think I'd want to go some eternal life the way I got it now? You say, well, Brother Bill, what if you just had a good body all the time? No, not even for that, because there's somebody around trying to clip my ears off with a better body, with a dirtier mind or something. You mean rougher character? Forget it. I'm not interested. I want to go through metamorphosis. See? Now, there were the dead saints represented in Moses. There was the resurrection and Jesus glorified, Elijah, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus all standing on the mountain, the dead saints, the raptured saints, and the glorified Jesus. Oh my, I heard a guy say, you people, why? If you have that kind of power, you ought to go out and tell the people what you can do. Far be it from a real Christian to say a thing like that. Surely we don't claim any power. But we do one thing. Now what's that one thing? Now let's find out. When they looked around, with all this power upon them, they saw Jesus only. Tommy Osborne saw, I can do the same thing. And guys like the departed, what's his name, said, I can bring in the money, 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 money. And the guy that got held captive by God for 4 million, what's his name, Oral Roberts? Yeah, money, 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 money. Sell screen doors to the Eskimos. You know something? I preached a sermon one time. Maybe you remember it, Peter. And I said, which Jesus? Remember, back over in 47? I was so sick, but you were there. So I had to preach. I wouldn't let you down. Could I hardly hold on. Sweat poured off me like a bucket. Which Jesus? Who do you see? You see the God of your imagination and the God of the Bible. Remember, the Bible distinctly said in Paul's day that another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. Which one are you seeing today? Are you seeing the capstone, the Omega? Are you seeing the same pillar of fire that brought the Word, now revealing the Word? Do you understand what the prophet said, or have you got something else in your mind? Now, in the hour of transfiguration, in the hour which foretold the resurrection of Jesus and the future, he said the power of God upon them pointed them only to Jesus. But there's been many more Jesuses since then. I'm asking the question, with Jesus back in their day, there was just the one. The one by whom the signs and wonders were done. The one that knew the Word, that stayed with the Word, because he was the Word. The one God manifest in flesh. Now, which is it today? He said, you're going to long for the days of the Son of Man, but you won't see them until I'm dead and gone, and the days of Noah and the days of Sodom appear, which are now here in America and over the whole world. He said, those days will be there, and that's it. And that's transfiguration. Now, I want to ask you, which Jesus are you talking about this morning? Well, I'm talking about the Jesus whose picture's right there in the pillar of fire. That's Jehovah's Savior. I'm talking about that one that put, thus saith the Lord, through that man, and every single word was fulfilled. Now, I've never met him face to face. And if I didn't, I might not even recognize him. I don't know. But I'll tell you, my thought is on that one there, because there lies the one who somehow had a connection, who could do things. I need somebody to do something for me, or forget it. But the Pentecostals don't. We're rich in Christian goods and don't need a thing. We're wonderful. He said, you stink. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're naked. You sit there as beggars, vaunting yourself as though you've got something. He said, listen, come to me. Then they have got the wrong Jesus, because they're preaching about a Jesus they've got in their hearts. Where do you stand this morning, brother, sister? Come on. Shake your hearts this morning, your minds. What Jesus have you got? A Jesus of a past history? A Jesus of your denominations? A Jesus of your own thinking? Or have you got that Jesus right there? Because Brother Branham said that's the one that identified himself to Paul. Now, it wasn't Jesus the man, it was Jehovah. Because Jesus means Jehovah Savior. It's the same word as Joshua. Herein he said the truth, God being a Savior, predestinating a man to need salvation. There it is. Now if you had this, you'd be doing something. But what do we do? What is right? You look around, with all this power upon them, they saw Jesus only. Now watch, and the true believer doesn't care whether he's backing up a denomination or anything else. He only wants one thing for you to see, that glorified Christ. Makes any difference. The real Mount Transfiguration, nothing makes any difference, see. The real true Mount Transfiguration experience only glorifies Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham is saying right here, in the hour of the resurrection, if I glorify anybody but the true Jesus Christ, I am a phony baloney. Now there's where your false anointed comes in. They are completely anointed correctly by the Holy Ghost as to gifts and even to fruit. But in no place are they anointed to the reality of the Word. You say, well, bless God, hallelujah. If I got anointed that far to gifts and fruit and this and that, who really cares about the Word? You understand what I'm saying? Why did God send the prophet Vindicator? Word! Would he send a prophet with vindicated word if the people were on the word? Would he say to the people the end time, you see, wretched, miserable, naked, blind, when you say, oh, I'm fine, I'm rich and Christian, goods and don't lack a thing, hallelujah, I got the Holy Ghost, I got this and I got that. He said, you ain't got anything. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Why didn't their Jesus do what this Jesus did? Come on. Because there's another Jesus. So I can't believe there's another Jesus. Then, hey, you don't believe your Bible. Smarten up, kids, this morning. Smarten up. The Word of God is not meant for idiots. If you are an idiot this morning, you were born incompetent, you will get through. You got no problem. You're not responsible. But if you can hold a job down, write checks, go to the bank, drive a car, read, you're responsible. No, that's it. I'm responsible. Just because I'm mean doesn't make me more responsible either. Makes me present the case tough, though, to get you to understand. Doesn't make any difference. Why do you think I preach Jesus the way I do in his prophet? That's my ministry. The testimony always is, and you can't find one sermon. You cannot find one sermon I preach but doesn't go exactly to the central point that William Branham went to. And since I've lived longer than he has, I've had 25 years experience since then, I'll put my record on the line with any man living in any age. You say, Brother Vail, you watch it. I am watching it because I'm living in the age where the real one came into his full manifestation. I've got more from William Branham in this book than those men in other ages. You read the books and you'll find out. I didn't get dumb on. Don't think for one minute Lee Bale's talking about Lee Bale. I pointed you all the time to Christ and pointed away from myself. I have never, as I was the prophet, I never put my name with his. I wouldn't allow. My name didn't deserve to be with his name. That's simple as ABC. Notice, he didn't glorify Moses. He didn't glorify Elijah. It didn't glorify itself. Watch it. He didn't glorify Moses, didn't glorify Elijah, and it didn't even identify itself. It didn't glorify anything else, but they saw the glorified Christ, and any true believer, that's what's in his heart, is to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to get the people to see, not to say, come up and join some group. If you come do this or do that, don't do that, don't do that. See, that's God's word, which is Christ magnified, watch it now. See, that's God's word, which is Christ magnified, made bigger and bigger, and fulfills the promise of this day, is this great hour of resurrection. In other words, the preeminence of Christ, his epiphania, his outshining, his manifestation, has gone right to the true Spirit. It's essentially Spirit, it's essentially God, revealing himself by his word to you and me. And it glorifies him. There's no other way it can be done in the hour of his resurrection. And it gives them joy to know that we are with him. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, what a joy. Well, what does that tell you? Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone? He's right here at the head of his church. The captain. Right here in our midst. Exactly as it says in Matthew 12. Bone of his bone. In other words, we are the manifestation of the word of this hour. You say, well, just a minute, I don't think I see any too much. You're not looking in the right direction. The right direction is the word he just spoke of. The hour of our transfiguration. This is Easter. This is resurrection. We are it. On what authority? On that authority right there. He said so. And if he knew himself, Jesus did. According to the word written by the prophets, it had to be fulfilled and couldn't fail, and were being fulfilled in him. The next step was death and life from death. Now, the same thing is what we're looking at. The church went into death, and now it's looking for life. It's the hour of the church, brother, sister. I know it's hard to understand in the sense that we really take it and breathe it, leave it, breathe it and live it, but that's what we're coming into. We're coming into this hope, which is earnest expectation. We expect it. See, Brother Branham said years ago to us, he said the prostitute, he said, when she goes up there and is judged, why she's not disappointed because she knew what she was. But she said, it's that religious man that stood right there and said, I'm born again, I'm this and I'm that, turned down the word. He's the one that's disappointed. You see? But listen, we are not living on imagination. We are not living on theology made by man. We are living on the vindicated word of Almighty God. And we know what has already come to pass, written by the prophets, never failed, and has come to pass in this hour and cannot fail. Then can this fail? No, it can't fail. Can't fail. So, well, I'll just stay with Brother Branham then. If we're not bribed, there's a bribe out there somewhere. That's exactly true. That's exactly true. It's exactly true. Listen, brother, sister, let's be honest. Everything indicates where we are. Like I showed you, the temptation of Christ. Food, entertainment, worship. First thing the Pope's going to do, you can't buy or sell. Food. Everybody gets food. The next thing, everybody's going to get jobs. And it's kind of like entertainment. That's bread in the circus like Rome. The next thing, they got to worship. They're trapped right in it. Why they pray, thy kingdom comes. Here it is right here. Can you believe that people will believe that? But they will. Oh, brother, sister, if you don't believe this, you will believe the error completely. We're back to Ephesians. Now, that's the only thing a real believer cares about. They don't care about denomination, don't care about organization. What do they care about? Now, he said they, the bride, don't care about other women, other churches. They don't care, certainly not. They won't do what these other women do. That's churches. These men won't do those things. That's like your membership. Preachers and all. They won't hang around and baby around some organization and keep them being put out and afraid they won't have a meal ticket. They don't care about those things. It's nonsense to them. There's only one heart's desire, and that is to Jesus Christ glorified. In other words, you're right in the resurrection. The whole thing is there for our taking. All right, we're going to quit right here. And if we're able to be here Wednesday, we'll check that out with you and go on and try to finish up. We're just a few pages from finishing because we won't need to read every part of his message on the grounds that some of it is like an altar call, and you can do that yourself. Let's rise and be dismissed at this time. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your time with us, that you bring us your word, that the prophet brought us. And each time, Lord, we see it goes deeper and deeper into our consciousness and our realization. And each step, Lord, we see that is more pertinent to what the prophet said as to the reality of what is really going on, because it has gone on, even as he said concerning Jesus, from what went on before, he knew what was going on now to place him and what would go on. And so here we are, Lord, in the very same position, O God, we know from what has gone on, we know positively your word, the background. We saw the prophet's ministry. We saw the days of the Son of Man. Seeing absolutely that everything that the prophet said is coming right out. He said, don't fear communism. There's nothing to it. It's a boogie. Look at the truth. Here we see the whole thing and even the world preaching it. Now they're getting back to it. So, Lord, we know exactly, or we should. We do actually know by what's written. And we want it in our hearts to know from the heart outward and speak it as a testimony and reality, not just cage. But to actually believe it is our earnest expectation. We know the rest is going to be fulfilled. Now the dead will come forth, and by your grace will come forth with him. Why shouldn't we? Lord, if we were such strong advocates of the prophet all these days, stood with him and he with us, then I believe, Lord, we're going to stand with him again. That's our privilege. I believe it's what you've given us is our privilege. Now bless each heart and divine presence here, Lord. May there not be one feeble one amongst us, as the prophet said, even taking this message for our healing. And yet we know, Lord, something's got to take us out of here. But Father, if we're going to stand here trying to do your will, the same prophet said, a servant of God, and we're all servants of God, have a right to healthy bodies. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, you who are here anointing us, amongst us, over us, in us, so we are one with you as never before. You're the capstone, come down, spiritual. You are the fulfilled word. You're all in all. We see thee only this morning, O great God. The sacrifice of the Lamb, the blood that was shed, the life that's given. All these things we see, we believe. And somehow, we have got to be a part of it. And it's a part of us. So we're looking, Lord, for all the benefits that come thereby. The touch, Lord, upon the soul. The words upon our lips. The minds that are completely indwelt by the word of Almighty God. And the power of the life of the word of healing released within us. As well, Lord, as all those virtues spoken of by the Apostle Peter, coming up to the full spiritual headship of Christ in each man, woman, and child, and even in the bride, until there's a resurrection and we're taken away to your glory. Lord, we know that this is not a pipe dream. We've seen it manifested right today. Father, don't let us be any longer like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, just in a twilight zone. May the full light of your revelation, that revealed word, burst upon us, O God, today, deep within our hearts and our consciousness. So the pervasive life suffusing every cell, not just to bring forth immortality, but bring forth that beautiful life, that flower life, as it were, that real spora, the beautiful rose of Sharon life within every one of us. That's what we like, Lord. We hunger for it. I want to thank you for these people this morning, their kindness, Lord, to be here to worship with us. The flowers they gave so generously, the expression of their thoughts and heart. All of these things, Lord, we appreciate. Though, like Brother Branham said many times, we don't show it or mention it, but we do appreciate it. Everything that's done, every little thing, is a gesture of love and kindness, and we appreciate that. Help us, Lord, to respond in kind. And each one of us, Lord, become champions of exhorting and helping each other, lifting up the hands that are hanging by the sides that seem useless, the knees, Lord, that are bending in problems and trials, hearts, Lord, that are under pressure and burdens. Help us to be friends this morning, to be burden bearers for each other, bearing each other's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, we want that. We've talked of it. We've dreamed of it. We've seen some action toward it. And then we've been foolish when there hasn't been a response. We ourselves so many times get cold. Help us, like Brother Branham, to say, I'll draw a bigger circle and draw y'all back again. Like Abraham Lincoln, who said, I don't have an enemy, I made them all friends. Like even Will Rogers, who said, I've never known a man I didn't like. Help us, Father, to rise to the occasion, not by worldly wisdom or human desire, but through the life of the Word in its transfiguring, transforming power, until we meet at your feet and crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because you're worthy. And we know from the depths of our hearts, as we've never known before, help us in this progress. We give thee the glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take the name of